All right, let's dive deep today. We're going to explore your circulatory system,
Okay.
specifically the blood vessels, the
Right.
lifelines of your body. I
Yeah.
was looking at the course material that you sent, and it's amazing how much is going on in there.
It really is. It's a complex system.
So much intricate action. I mean, I get that the heart pumps blood, but all the stuff in those blood vessels, the arteries, arterioles, capillaries, that's mind-blowing.
It's an amazing system for sure.
Yeah, so how does it all work?
Well, it all starts with one pretty basic principle:
Okay.
blood flow.
Okay.
It's like any transportation system.
Okay.
You need a driving force and you need pathways.
All right, so let's break that down.
Okay.
The driving force is the heart rate,
Yeah.
creating that pressure
Exactly.
to push the blood through.
The heart creates a pressure gradient.
Okay.
The highest pressure is in the aorta.
Okay.
That's that big artery leaving the heart. Think of it kind of like a water tower. The higher the tower, the more pressure
Right.
pushing that water through the
I mean,
pipes.
that makes sense. But it's not just about how hard the heart pumps, right? The
Right.
blood vessels themselves play a role too.
Yeah, they do. That's where resistance comes in.
Resistance.
Imagine trying to like push water through a straw
Okay.
versus a wider one.
Yeah.
The narrow straw,
Yeah.
way more resistance.
Oh, I see where you're going with this.
Right.
And in our blood vessels, the key factor is the radius, right?
Exactly.
How wide or
How
narrow
wide or narrow?
those vessels are.
Yeah. And the amazing thing is, tiny changes in that radius have a huge impact on blood flow
Huge impact.
because resistance changes exponentially with radius.
Whoa, exponentially. So
Exponentially.
like a small change makes a big difference.
Big difference is an understatement. It's
Wow.
actually to the fourth power.
Really?
So if you double the radius of a blood vessel,
Okay.
you're not just doubling the flow, they're increasing it 16 times.
No way.
Yeah.
Okay, that is a serious power move by those blood vessels.
That's one way to think about it.
It's like having a volume knob that goes from 1 to 100 instantly.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it.
So it's all about.
And this is really a key principle behind how your body regulates
Oh, wow.
blood flow to different organs
Okay.
based on what's happening.
This is already blowing my mind.
It's a complex system, but it's really amazing.
And we haven't even left the driveway.
We're just getting started.
Okay, so let's start a road trip through the vascular system.
Okay.
First stop, those big highways,
Okay.
the arteries.
Right.
Now, the course material calls these pressure reservoirs. How do they keep things flowing even when the heart takes a break between beats?
It's really thanks to those elastic fibers that are woven into their walls.
Oh, wow.
Think of it like a balloon.
Okay.
You blow it up, stretches, and then when you let go, it snaps back. That's essentially what arteries are doing with
Okay.
every single heartbeat.
So during systole,
Yeah.
that's the fancy term for the heart contracting.
That's right.
The arteries stretch to accommodate all that blood, and then during diastole,
Yeah.
the relaxing phase, they recoil,
Right.
keeping that blood moving.
You nailed it.
Okay.
This continuous pressure
Yeah.
is what keeps your blood flowing smoothly throughout your whole body,
Wow.
even between those heartbeats.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
It's like a built-in backup system.
It is.
It always ensuring delivery.
Yeah.
Okay, so I also came across this term, mean arterial pressure
Right.
or MAP.
Yes.
What's that all about?
It's not just about the peaks and valleys of your blood pressure.
Right.
MAP is like the average pressure
Okay.
over a whole heartbeat cycle.
So it's more of a big picture view,
Sure.
pressure pushing the blood through,
Got an idea.
and every time we feel our pulse, that's actually our pulse pressure,
That's
right?
pulse pressure, yeah.
The difference between systolic and diastolic.
That pressure wave
Yeah.
created by each heartbeat.
Wow, never thought of it that way.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Okay, so our next stop on this vascular voyage is the arterioles,
Okay.
those smaller branches off the main arteries. Now, these guys, they're called resistance vessels.
They are.
Sounds
I'm
kind of like a
keyworded.
villainous title.
Right.
What
Yeah.
makes them so resistant?
Well, think about it this way. You have those big, wide arteries
Okay.
branching into smaller and smaller arterioles.
Yeah.
As the diameter decreases, resistance
Oh,
increases.
yeah, that fourth power thing.
Remember that fourth power?
Right.
It all comes back to
And
that.
so even though they're tiny, all those arterioles together,
Yeah.
they create some serious resistance.
They do. They create a lot of resistance.
Wow.
And that's a good thing.
Why is a pressure drop a good thing?
Because without that pressure drop, blood would rush through the capillaries too quickly.
Oh, okay.
There wouldn't be enough time
yeah.
for that exchange of oxygen and nutrients.
So it's like slowing down the flow
exactly.
to allow for those vital exchanges.
It's like they're the gatekeepers.
Yeah.
They're carefully regulating how much blood reaches those capillary beds.
I'm sensing another, this is where it gets really interesting moment.
Uh-huh.
What else can these arterioles do?
Well, they're not just static gatekeepers.
Okay.
They're actually incredibly dynamic.
Okay.
They can adjust their diameter.
What?
To fine-tune that blood flow.
Like on demand?
On demand.
Wow. So yeah. they can get wider.
It's called vasoconstriction.
Okay.
When they narrow.
Okay.
And vasodilation when they widen.
So like during exercise?
Yeah.
The arterioles leading to your muscles are going to dilate.
Exactly. So more blood can flow in.
So it's like redirecting traffic.
Exactly.
Sending more blood to the muscles that need it.
It's a very efficient system. Yeah. And if your body needs to increase blood pressure overall,
okay.
the arterioles will constrict across the board.
Okay.
Increasing resistance.
Yeah.
And that boosts the pressure.
It's like having an internal pressure regulator.
It is. It is.
This is amazing how much is going on behind the scenes.
Right.
I'm curious, though. How yeah. do they know
yeah.
when to constrict or dilate?
That's a great question.
Who's calling the shots here?
There are actually two main control systems.
Okay.
Intrinsic and extrinsic.
Intrinsic.
Intrinsic control is local.
Okay.
It's like each organ having its own internal feedback system.
Okay.
Responding to local cues.
So if a muscle is working hard,
yeah.
it's saying, hey, I need more blood flow here.
Exactly. As a muscle works,
yeah.
it produces more carbon dioxide.
Right.
Uses up oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
And these changes trigger those arterioles to dilate.
Okay.
And that increases blood flow.
It's like the muscle sending up a smoke signal.
That's a great way to think about it.
Okay. So that's intrinsic.
Yeah.
What about extrinsic control?
Extrinsic control comes from outside the organ itself.
Okay.
Primarily the nervous system
okay.
and hormones.
Okay.
The big player here
yeah.
is the sympathetic nervous system.
No, our fight or flight response.
Your fight or flight.
Right.
Exactly.
So when that kicks in,
yeah.
I'm guessing it wants to shunt blood to the essential organs and muscles.
Exactly.
Okay.
The sympathetic nervous system releases norepinephrine,
okay.
which causes vasoconstriction.
Right.
Raises blood pressure.
Okay.
Prioritizes blood flow to those really vital areas.
But wait,
yeah.
wouldn't it want to increase blood flow to muscles for fight or flight?
Right. It's not quite that simple.
Okay.
Epinephrine,
mm-hmm.
also released during fight or flight,
okay.
actually prefers to bind to different receptors
okay.
in those skeletal muscles,
okay.
causing vasodilation there.
So it's like a two-pronged approach.
It is.
General vasoconstriction to raise blood pressure, but also targeted vasodilation
exactly.
to make sure those muscles are ready.
Exactly.
Okay.
It's all about fine-tuning that response
wow.
based on what's going on.
This is amazing.
That's really cool.
And there are other hormonal players involved too.
Yeah, like vasopressin and angiotensin II.
Wow.
They're crucial for maintaining your blood pressure if you lose blood.
Yeah.
Say after an injury.
It's like having a whole team of specialists.
It is.
With their own role in this intricate dance.
Exactly.
And all this leads us to the ultimate destination
yes.
of this finely tuned system.
That's right.
The capillaries.
Where all the action happens.
That's where it all goes down.
All right. So let's zoom in on those capillaries.
Okay.
Because I'm already feeling like this deep dive is revealing
yeah.
a whole new level of appreciation.
It's fascinating, isn't it?
It really is.
Yeah.
For what's happening in my body.
It's pretty amazing.
All right.
Yeah.
We've been talking about all these intricate highways.
Yeah, and control systems.
Mm-hmm.
But the capillaries, that's where the real magic happens.
Absolutely. The capillaries are where all the action is.
Right.
It's where the oxygen and nutrients get delivered
yeah.
to every single cell in your body.
It's incredible when you think about how many cells are in the body.
Right.
What makes the capillaries so efficient?
Well, first, they're incredibly thin-walled.
Okay.
I mean, we're talking just a single layer of cells.
Wow.
So the distance those molecules have to travel is minimal.
Oh, wow.
It's all about maximizing surface area for exchange.
Yeah, like having a ton of tiny doors for things to move in and out.
That's a great way to put it.
Okay.
Not only are the individual capillaries super thin,
yeah.
but they also form these massive branching networks weaving yeah. through every tissue in your body.
It's like having a delivery network
yeah.
that reaches every house on every street and every town.
That's a great way to picture it.
And blood flow through the capillaries is actually quite slow, right?
It is. It is.
Giving plenty of time for those molecules to diffuse.
It's about slowing down that delivery truck.
Right.
So it can make all its stops.
That makes a lot of sense.
But it's not just about individual molecules.
Okay.
Diffusing across those capillary walls.
Mm-hmm.
We also have this process called bulk flow.
Bulk flow. Okay, what's that?
So imagine a busy loading dock.
Okay.
With trucks coming and going.
Yeah.
You got goods being loaded and unloaded.
Right.
But you've also got larger containers being moved around.
Okay.
Bulk flow is kind of like that.
Yeah.
It's about moving larger volumes of fluid between those capillaries and the surrounding tissues.
So it's not just individual packages.
Yeah.
It's like whole pallets of goods being shifted.
That's a great analogy.
Okay, I like that.
Just like at a busy loading dock.
Yeah.
There's a lot of pushing and pulling going on.
Right.
In this case, it's pressure gradients.
Yeah, pressure gradients again.
Right. We've been talking about those.
Right. So how do they come into play here?
Well, there are four main pressures involved.
Okay.
Each contributing to the overall balance.
Right.
First, you have capillary blood pressure,
mm.
which is that pressure of the blood pushing outwards.
Against the capillary walls.
Against those capillary walls, exactly.
Oh, it's like the force of the delivery truck.
Yeah.
Trying to push those goods out.
That's a great way to think about it.
Opposing that. Right.
Opposing that is interstitial fluid hydrostatic pressure.
Okay.
Which is the pressure exerted by the fluid surrounding the cells.
Okay.
Pushing back against those capillary walls.
So it's like the receiving dock pushing back a little bit.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah.
Now, on the other side of the equation, we have proteins in the blood plasma that are too big to cross the capillary walls.
Right.
They create a force called plasma colloid osmotic pressure.
Okay.
Which essentially pulls fluid back into the capillaries.
So those proteins are like magnets.
Exactly. And then finally, there's interstitial fluid colloid osmotic pressure.
Right.
That one's created by any proteins that might be present.
Okay.
In the fluid surrounding the cells.
Okay.
This one tends to pull fluid out of the capillaries.
Wow. Four different pressures kind of playing tug of war.
They are. They are.
So which way does the fluid move?
It all comes down to the net balance of those pressures.
Okay.
If the outward forces are stronger, fluid's going to move out of the capillaries.
Right.
That's filtration.
That's filtration. Okay.
And if the inward forces dominate, fluid's going to move back into the capillaries.
Right.
And that's reabsorption.
So it's like a constant balancing act.
It is. It is.
With these pressures determining whether things are flowing in or out.
Exactly. And this balance is crucial.
Yeah.
Because if too much fluid builds up in those tissues, you can get edema.
Edema.
Which is basically swelling.
So that's why my ankles sometimes get puffy after a long flight.
That's a classic example.
Yeah. It's the fluid buildup from sitting too long.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
And speaking of fluid balance.
Yeah.
This brings us to another essential player.
Okay.
The lymphatic system.
The lymphatic system, okay.
It's like the cleanup crew.
Oh,
making sure things don't get too messy.
I like it.
Out there in the tissues.
Okay, lymphatic system.
It's kind of the unsung hero of the circulatory system.
Right.
It's this network of vessels.
Okay.
Tissues and organs that collect and filter that excess fluid,
mm-hmm.
transport fats, and plays a critical role in immune defense.
So when we were talking about that slight imbalance in the capillary pressures, that extra fluid is picked up by the lymphatic vessels.
Exactly.
Okay.
Think of the lymphatic vessels as like a parallel network to the blood vessels.
All right.
Kind of like those underground tunnels that run alongside city streets.
Okay.
Collecting that excess rainwater.
All right. But unlike the city tunnels, which rely on gravity, how does the lymphatic system move the fluid around?
Well, there's no central pump.
Oh, okay.
In the lymphatic system.
How does it do it?
Lymph is propelled by smooth muscle contractions in the vessel walls.
All right.
And by the squeezing action of skeletal muscles.
So being active helps our lymphatic system.
It does.
Okay, I'm feeling motivated to get up and move around after this.
Every time you walk or run,
mm-hmm.
those muscle contractions are helping to push that lymph through.
It's like having built-in lymphatic massage.
That's a great way to put it.
And those vessels also have those one-way valves, right?
Yeah.
To prevent backflow.
Exactly. So it's a one-way street, right? Directing that fluid back towards the circulatory system.
So as the lymph travels through these vessels, it passes through those lymph nodes, right?
It does. It does.
Like filtering stations.
Like security checkpoints packed with immune cells that trap and destroy any harmful invaders.
So that's why our lymph nodes swell up when we're sick.
Exactly.
Immune cells are working hard.
They are. They are.
To fight off infection.
They're protecting you.
those swollen glands are a good sign in a way.
They are. They're a sign that your lymphatic system's doing its job.
Okay, you've covered arteries, arterioles, capillaries, now the lymphatic system.
That leaves us with the veins.
The veins.
Those trusty return vessels.
Right.
Carrying that deoxygenated blood.
Yeah.
Back to the heart to complete the loop.
What can you tell us about the veins?
Well, veins often get a bad rap.
Yeah, they do.
They're seen as just passive conduits.
Right.
But they're actually quite dynamic.
Oh, okay.
They play a really crucial role in regulating blood volume and pressure.
Okay. I'm intrigued what makes veins so special.
Well, first, they're like the body's blood storage units.
Okay.
At any given moment.
Yeah.
They hold about 60%.
60%? Wow.
Of your total blood volume.
That's a lot of blood.
It is a lot.
So they're like the reserve tanks.
Exactly.
Of the circulatory system.
That's a great way to think about it.
So if the body needs to increase blood volume quickly,
right,
like during exercise,
yep,
it can tap into those reserves.
Exactly.
And the opposite is true, too.
The opposite is also true.
If blood pressure needs to be lowered,
yeah,
the veins can expand.
It can expand further,
yeah,
storing more blood,
right,
reducing the amount returning back to the heart.
This concept of venous return,
yes,
the amount of blood flowing back to the heart,
it's crucial.
Seems really important.
It's absolutely crucial.
Yeah.
Maintaining a healthy venous return,
yeah,
ensures that your heart has enough blood to pump out,
right,
to the body.
The rest of the body.
If venous return drops too low,
okay,
cardiac output decreases and blood pressure can plummet.
It's like making sure the supply chain back to the warehouse is running smoothly.
Exactly.
So the goods can be shipped back out again.
That's a great analogy.
Okay, so several factors that influence venous return, including the sympathetic nervous system, skeletal muscle contractions,
yep,
gravity,
mm-hmm,
even breathing.
Even breathing.
How does breathing play a role in getting blood back to the heart?
Well, when you inhale,
yeah,
the pressure in your chest decreases.
Okay.
Creates a slight vacuum effect.
Okay.
That helps pull blood upwards.
Okay.
From the veins in your abdomen and legs.
Wow. So even breathing.
Even breathing.
Is helping move blood back to the heart.
Yeah. It's pretty amazing.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Okay. We can't forget about those venous valves.
Right. Those ingenious little trap doors.
Right. How do they work again?
Imagine a one-way street.
Okay.
With strategically placed gates.
Okay.
As blood flows upwards in the veins.
Yeah.
Those valves open, allowing it to pass.
Okay.
But if blood tries to flow backwards,
yeah,
those valves slam shut, preventing that backflow.
So it's a series of checkpoints.
Yeah.
Making sure that blood keeps moving in the right direction.
Exactly. And this system is particularly important in the legs.
Okay.
Because gravity is constantly pulling blood downwards.
Right. So those valves are working against gravity.
They are.
Preventing blood from pooling in our feet.
Exactly.
And the skeletal muscle contractions we talked about, those also play a huge role.
Yeah, they do.
In venous return, especially in the legs.
Especially in the legs, yeah.
It's like the muscles are squeezing the veins.
Yep.
Pushing the blood upwards towards the heart.
It's often called the skeletal muscle pump.
The skeletal muscle pump.
Yeah, and that's why walking and moving around is so important,
right,
for maintaining that healthy circulation.
Wow. So we have the sympathetic nervous system, those venous valves,
yep,
skeletal muscle pump,
yeah,
and even our breathing.
All working together.
Working together to ensure that blood gets back to the heart.
It's a remarkable symphony of coordinated actions.
It really is.
It really highlights the interconnectedness,
yeah,
of all these different systems.
Nothing works in isolation.
It does not.
It's all about teamwork.
It is. And it's all geared towards maintaining a stable and healthy blood pressure.
Okay, so blood pressure regulation.
Yeah.
We've been talking about it. I'm eager to understand,
yeah,
how the body actually monitors this and, yeah, adjusts to,
yeah,
keep everything in that Goldilocks zone.
Not too high, not too low.
Not too high, not too low. Just right.
Just right. That's a great way to put it.
We've talked about all these amazing mechanisms for moving blood around the body.
It's a pretty complex system.
But how does the body know,
mm-hmm,
what adjustments to make?
Yeah, that's a great question.
The blood pressure.
Right.
It's like we have this intricate control panel.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, who's the operator?
Yeah, who's running the show?
Who's, yeah, the operator?
Well, imagine you have these tiny little pressure sensors,
yeah,
placed throughout your circulatory system,
right,
constantly monitoring blood flow.
Yeah.
Sending real-time updates to your brain.
So that's what baroreceptors do. That's exactly what baroreceptors do.
These things sound like they're out of a sci-fi movie.
They're pretty amazing.
Where are they located in the body?
They're found in key locations like the carotid sinus.
Okay.
That's in your neck.
Okay.
And the aortic arch. Mm-hmm. The big curve in the aorta as it leaves the heart.
Okay, so how do they actually work? Do they send out little alarm signals?
It's even more sophisticated than that.
Okay.
They're constantly sending out signals.
Okay.
And the rate of those signals changes.
Okay.
Depending on the pressure they're sensing.
So if the blood pressure goes up,
yep.
The signals get more frequent.
More frequent.
And if it drops, they slow down.
Exactly.
Wow, that's really cool.
Yeah, it's a simple but really effective system.
So all this information gets relayed to the brain.
To the brain, specifically the cardiovascular control center.
And where's that?
That's in your brainstem.
Okay, so this cardiovascular control center is like mission control.
It is like mission control for your blood pressure.
For blood pressure.
Constantly receiving information from those baroreceptors.
So based on all that intel,
The
cardiovascular control center can make adjustments.
It can make very rapid adjustments.
How does it do that?
Through the autonomic nervous system.
Oh, the autonomic nervous system.
You got it.
That's the part of our nervous system that controls all the things we don't think about.
The automatic functions.
Right, like heart rate.
Breathing, digestion.
Digestion, okay. Yeah. So it has two branches, right?
Two branches, the sympathetic.
The sympathetic.
Our fight or flight.
Our fight or flight.
And the parasympathetic,
okay,
which is rest and digest.
Okay, so let's say blood pressure drops suddenly.
Okay.
What happens?
It's like a finely tuned orchestra.
Okay.
First, it eases up on the parasympathetic nervous system.
Okay.
Allowing the heart rate to increase.
So it's taking the brakes off the heart.
It's taking the brakes off.
A little bit.
Allowing it to beat faster.
Yep.
And at the same time, it ramps up the sympathetic nervous system.
Okay.
Which not only increases heart rate further,
okay,
but strengthens the force of those contractions.
So it's stepping on the gas pedal?
Stepping on the gas.
For the heart.
Yeah, making it work harder.
What do you mean it work harder?
And that's not all.
Okay.
The sympathetic nervous system also triggers vasoconstriction.
Okay, in the arterioles.
In those arterioles, yeah.
Right.
Narrowing them to increase resistance,
yeah,
which further boosts that blood pressure.
So it's a multi-pronged approach.
Multi-pronged approach.
To get things back in balance.
Exactly. And it's all happening super fast.
That's incredible. So it's constantly.
Constantly making these adjustments.
These subtle adjustments to keep everything.
In a healthy range.
Wow. And we don't even have to think about it.
You don't even have to think about it. It's all happening automatically.
So what about longer term regulation?
Yeah. So while the baroreceptor reflex provides that rapid beat-to-beat control.
Right.
Longer term regulation involves things like adjusting blood volume.
Okay.
Through the kidneys.
Right, the kidneys. Yeah. Those are our amazing filtration systems.
They are.
That control how much water and salt we retain.
Exactly.
Which can impact blood volume.
Right, and that impacts blood pressure.
Exactly.
So if your blood volume is low,
yeah,
your kidneys are going to kick into gear.
Okay.
Conserving water, reducing urine output.
Less pee.
Less pee. And then hormones like aldosterone.
Aldosterone.
Join the party.
Okay.
Helping to retain salt.
Okay.
Further boost that blood volume.
So it's like a whole team of specialists.
It is.
Monitoring and adjusting the system.
Keeping things in balance.
So the course material we have today focused a lot on hypertension.
Right. High blood pressure.
Or what are some of the reasons why someone might develop that?
Hypertension is a complex condition.
Okay.
And there are two main categories.
Right.
Primary hypertension.
Okay.
Which is the most common. And secondary hypertension.
So primary versus secondary, what's the difference?
With primary hypertension, we don't always know the exact cause.
Okay.
It's often a combination of genetics.
Okay.
And lifestyle factors.
Like diet, exercise, stress.
Diet, stress, lack of exercise, obesity.
Yeah.
All those things can contribute.
So it's like a perfect storm.
It is like a perfect storm.
Of factors that can gradually push blood pressure up.
That's a great way to put it.
And primary hypertension doesn't always have noticeable symptoms early on.
It does not. That's why it's sometimes called the silent killer.
That's scary.
It is scary because you might not know you have it.
Right. And then it can damage blood vessels and organs.
Oh, exactly.
Increasing the risk of other problems.
Exactly. Which is why regular blood pressure checks are so important.
Absolutely. Okay. So secondary hypertension is different.
Secondary hypertension is high blood pressure that's caused by an underlying medical condition.
Okay.
So this could be kidney disease.
Okay.
Hormonal disorders.
Right.
Certain medications. Or even sleep apnea.
Wow. So many things.
Yeah. A lot of things can contribute.
So in those cases, treating that underlying condition.
Treating the underlying condition is key.
Is really important.
If you can address the root cause, often the blood pressure goes back to a healthy range.
Hmm. This has been an incredible journey.
It's a fascinating topic.
I feel like I've learned so much.
I'm glad.
about the circulatory system.
Me too.
And how it all works.
Yeah, it's a really amazing system.
Any final thoughts?
I think the key takeaway here is balance.
Balance.
This system is all about balance.
Okay.
A delicate dance between pressure, flow, and resistance.
Mm-hmm.
And it's orchestrated by this incredible interplay of factors.
Yeah.
Neural control, hormonal signals.
Right.
It's all working together.
So when that balance is disrupted,
yeah,
it can have some serious consequences.
It can.
So taking care of our cardiovascular system is essential.
It really is.
What are some things people can do to help?
It's all about those healthy lifestyle choices. A balanced diet.
Yeah.
Regular exercise, managing stress, not smoking.
What are those things we hear about all the time?
All those things.
But they really do make a difference.
They make a huge difference.
Yeah. It's like giving our body the tools it needs.
Yeah, exactly.
To maintain that balance.
That delicate balance.
Exactly.
It's an investment in your long-term well-being.
I love that. An investment in our long-term well-being.
Absolutely.
This has been an incredible deep dive.
It has.
Into the world of vascular physiology.
Yes.
Thank you so much for sharing your expertise.
You're very welcome.
And taking us on this journey.
It's been my pleasure.
And to you, our listener, thank you for joining us.
Yes, thank you.
On the deep dive.
We appreciate you listening.
We would love to hear your thoughts.
Yes, we'd love to hear from you.
So feel free to connect with us.
Absolutely.
Through our website or social media.
Yeah, reach out.
Until next time, keep exploring, keep learning.
Keep learning.
And keep diving deep.
We'll see you next time.